God's laws cannot change. If the moon were any closer, astronomers say, if the moon were any closer or any further, it would so affect the tidal system of the ocean that we would be inundated with tidal waves twice a day. Global tidal wave. And after the first tidal wave, you don't need to worry about the second.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Just like the tides, just like gravity, God has put certain laws in place for our own good, for our own safety. When we break those laws or ignore them, that's when we get in trouble. Well, the good news is that God gives us the opportunity to correct back to what Pastor Wayne calls a common ground. It's a place where we can find forgiveness and restoration. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Common Ground.
Hey, would you take out your notes? You're going to find that it's blank, but you're going to be writing a few things on it as we take a little backward glance at Acts chapter 2 as we're walking through the book of Acts today on this day that we're going to be entitling it, Our Common Ground. Some years ago, when I was about to relocate to Hilo, Hawaii, I had just about a week or so, and I wanted to play golf. I was a terrible golfer, still am. So I went to this golf pro and I said, can you teach me how to play golf? But the only thing is I'm going to move to Hawaii in a couple weeks, so you've got to really hurry up. And he said, are you kidding? How am I going to do that? I said, I don't know. Can you teach me like the fundamentals of golf in 4 easy lessons or less? He said, I can't teach you to play golf, Wayne, but I can teach you what the basic swing is because, and this amazed me. He said, most golfers don't know what the basic swing should look like. They just try it, and if it works, they keep going. But the problem is because they don't know what the basic swing is. If they hit a good shot, number one, they don't know why they hit the good shot. And number two, they don't know how to do it again. And on the other hand, if you hit a bad shot, you don't know why it was bad, and you will do it again and again. So I'll show you a basic swing so that if it goes bad, you correct everything to that again and again and again. The fundamental swing. So I worked for 4 days on just getting a fundamental swing down, and that was probably the best lesson or lessons that I've ever received, because now if I hit it wrong, I know how to correct back. Everything that you have that is of value has a correcting point. You can be doing stuff on your computer and then it just goes worse and worse and worse. And what you can do is you can just reboot it and it wakes up again afresh. I have an iPod that when it starts to mess up, it says, would you like to restore all the settings again? Yes. And it gives me a common ground. Even when hikers are going on a long, prolonged hike, one of the things they used to do, in fact, pioneers would do this in traversing America to the West Coast from the East, when they would come to an area that may be 100 miles in breadth, they would look for the highest point in the area. They would go up there, tie a little flag or piece of cloth on a tree, and then they would go ahead and head on out. And if they got split up or they started going in circles, they would look for that high point and go back there. That's where they could start again. And then they would sight their line. Or if they got split up, they would say, if we ever get lost and we can't find each other, find your way back to that tree on that hill. That's where we'll meet again. And then we can start over. There's a correcting point. There's a correcting point that we've got to come back to. We want to talk about that as we talk about Acts chapter 2. Now, in your notes, we're going to see that God is actually bringing us to a place of commonality. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit has been given to us is to bring us back to a common point. Because Christians have all kinds of different dispositions, perspectives, opinions. But if we miss the commonality, we miss it all. It's in the second chapter of Acts that we find words such as this. And I'm going to start reading and then I'll pause and then we're going to read together a little later. But let me start it off with this. Now the day of Pentecost had come and they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. And when that sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were bewildered and said, "Why hear people speaking in our own language?" And they were all amazed and marveled. And they were saying, "Now, aren't all these people Galileans? How is it that we understand them? Because they're speaking in the languages that we know. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians from Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the districts of Libya around Cyrene. My goodness, Cretans and even Arabs. They're speaking in our own tongue the mighty deeds of God." Everyone had come to a common place in God. That's what the Holy Spirit began doing. Often, Christians are so fractured that although we're still Christians and still going to heaven, we're lost from one another. It happens in microcosms like families, marriages. There's a splits. There's friendships that splits, churches that split. Now, they're both Christians, sure, but we're not together. And the force, not salvation, the force of our influence on this earth is going to a large part be determined by our unity. There are certain fundamentals, and I want to talk about them, that brings us back or helps us to find the tree on the hill. Try to find that common ground. It's going to happen in your marriage. You're going to start to split up. And then how do you get back to the basic swing? You're going to be so entangled and so fully invested emotionally. Pretty soon, we've got to look around and say, where in the world is each other? Is there a place we've agreed to meet? Churches start to split. Boards start to split. Friends start to split. Is there a place we've agreed to meet? You have to do that. If you're a brand new couple, before you get married or as early as possible, to say, if we ever lose sight of one another, there's a place that we will meet. And we'll start to navigate again. If you miss that, you'll miss what the Holy Spirit is doing in the book of Acts. Now, it's going to require a few things that I want you to write down. Number one, would you write it down? In order to find this common point, you have to remember these three axioms. And the first is this. Number one, fundamentals never change. You have to have this down. You will not be able to find that common hill, that meeting point again, to correct back to. If you don't have within your system, your soul, your innate being, the fundamentals, and the fundamentals will never change. Doesn't matter how much man changes or the times change. Fundamentals never change. Things like honesty, kindness, respect, things like faith, they never change. Those things are incredibly important. What about being gracious, being unselfish, the goodness, people's hearts, God's best in loving one another, wanting God's best. Those are fundamentals. It doesn't matter where you live or what time or age you're born in. Fundamentals never
change.
Yep, man changes. But these fundamentals are spiritual principles. They are absolutely timeless. It doesn't matter if man changes. Sometimes I hear people come to me and say, "Wayne, I mean, what's wrong with this? And what's wrong?" I said, "Because fundamentals never change." Yeah, but times, they are a-changing. Mankind changes. The Bible is archaic and old. We change. I say, fundamentals never
change.
Never change. There's some things that do, but fundamentals never change. Yeah, but why doesn't God just allow this? Because we change. What if God bent his laws for a while? Well, what if God just changed his fundamentals? I mean, what if he did? What if his laws were changeable? Think about it. What if God undid gravity for 5 minutes? End of the world. End of the world. What if God just started to rotate the earth just a little slower? In fact, you know what they said? If scientists say this, if the earth rotated any slower than it does right now, just slow it down, we would alternately burn or fry and freeze to death at the same time. If the moon were any closer than it is, let's just mess up the rotation of all of this a little bit. What if we just push the moon a little closer or maybe a little further away? Astronomers say if the moon were any closer or any further, it would so affect the tidal system of the ocean that we would be inundated with tidal waves twice a day. Global tidal wave. And after the first tidal wave, you don't need to worry about the second. No. No. You see, because God's laws cannot change. Do you know why astronomers can predict the next eclipse 13 years down the road to the second? Because God's laws are not changeable. They're so predictable. They're so consistent, unvarying, constant, lasting, eternal, static. And because of the laws of physics or aerodynamics or gravity or the transmission of light, because these laws are so, so inflexible, that's why now we can develop technology based on that. But if these things were changing, we'd have no technology today. You know why we are so advanced in technology? Because God's laws are immutable. That's why we can advance like we do today. And God has placed certain fundamentals in our lives of honesty or kindness or graciousness or not being selfish, truthfulness. These are absolutely timeless. And these are borders that we have to have within our ranks here. Those are fundamentals that I respect you, that I'm gracious to you, that I try to understand you, that we're not selfish or maneuvering or manipulating. Fundamentals never change. And if you're going to find the common ground when you get lost, you're going to have to believe and live by the fact that fundamentals never change. You don't have scriptures. It'll come up on your PowerPoint here. Read Proverbs 22 and verse 23 with me. Would you bring that up? Go. Do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers... Yeah, when you stick with the fundamentals, which are unchangeable, like kindness, then you and I can be the bridge to the one who is kind. When we stick to the fundamentals of love and respect, we can lead people to the one who is the author of love. And our hearts will open with respect to him. But it has to happen in us. If it doesn't happen in us, we'll never find common ground. Understand? So that's number one. Fundamentals never. So we got to know the way first. And if it doesn't happen with us as Christians, it's not going to happen with those that we're trying to talk to and lead to Christ. So it's got to happen among us. And it's got to start here so that we can find common ground. Because if we don't know the way, how in the world we're going to help others? Story is told, true story. Billy Graham was some years ago doing a crusade in a town, and he was looking for the post office, stopped a little boy on his bicycle, and he said, "Young man, can you tell me where the post office is?" The young man stopped and said, "Well, sure, sir, it's three blocks down, straight, and then one to the left." Billy Graham said, "Thank you very much." He said, "By the way, young man, I have a crusade here in town tonight. I'd like you to come." He said, "Well, what are you going to talk about, mister?" He said, "I'm going to talk about how you can get to heaven." He said, "I don't think I'll come, mister." Billy Graham said, "Why not?" He said, "How can you tell me how to get to heaven when you don't even know how to get to the post office?" It's got to happen in us first. But it's the fundamentals that never change. And number two, another prerequisite if we're going to find common ground. Folks, listen, remember, you're going to have to find that common ground because life pulls us in 100 different directions. And what you thought was established, your love or your commitment to one another, is going to be tested because you'll be pulled in one way or the other. And it's not because we're malicious that we lose sight of one another. It's like sheep. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. Not because we intentionally go astray. You know what one shepherd said? He said, sheep go astray one tuft of grass at a time. Because they're eating, and as they're eating, after a while they look up and think, oh my goodness, where did everybody go? And that's how we are, isn't it? Well, where do you find how to get back to the flock? Then you remember the shepherd said, go to this place, and there it is, and that's where they go. So when the shepherd says, where is George, or whatever the sheep's name is, he knows that that's where we connect with one another. Do we have that common ground? Well, here's some of the things we have to remember among one another. Fundamentals never change. But sometimes we get a little full of self. We get too far going. We get too upset at one another because we've tangled things up so much. And then we get a little stubborn. I want you to know the second requirement is, would you write down, stubbornness never works. Stubbornness never works. I'm not talking about persistence now, because persistence is not stubbornness. Persistence is a commitment that we make. It's a perseverance that leads to improvement. Okay? Stubbornness is a refusal to change even when you know that's the best thing to do. Stubbornness is a refusal to change even though you know deep in your heart that's the best thing for you. But sometimes we're so far invested in something and we just don't want to back out because of stubbornness. It happened with a king. His name was King Herod in Mark chapter 6. John the Baptist came into his life and said, Herod, you're shacking up with your brother Philip's wife. Her name is Herodias. You can't do that. It's not right. She's got a daughter named Salome. You have an affair. Bring her over here. Now you're living with her, and her husband Philip, your brother, is really missed. This is not good. Well, Herodias hears about this and she's mad at John the Baptist for bringing the truth up. And so she's upset. Well, one night, Herod has all of these dinner guests and they're all in this big banquet hall. And he turns on the music and they're all dancing. You know, they're just dancing. All the kings and queens are dancing. And then his stepdaughter, Salome, comes in, and oh man, she's like breakdancing. She's so good. She's just dancing. And you know, have you seen those really good dancers and everybody else steps back? Whoa. Well, Salome is really going to it. She's getting down. She's got moves. It just so impresses Herod. When it's done, everybody claps and he calls her over and says, man, this is fantastic. You can ask anything up to half of my kingdom and I'll give it to you. She quickly runs to her mom. Mom, what should I ask for? Should I ask for a trip to Disneyland? What should I do? And her mother says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And I want it on a silver platter. Salome said, gross. That's what I want. She went back to Herod's, head of John the Baptist. Now, the Bible says it this way, that Herod used to go down into the dungeon where he had imprisoned John the Baptist and talk to him because of the insight that he had, and he respected him very much. But listen to what it says here. After that request, check this out. Although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oaths that he made, the oath that he had made about giving up to half his kingdom, and because of the dinner guests that were present, he was unwilling to refuse his stepdaughter's request. You see, what happened was he got so far, so deep into it, that he would lose face, he would lose something, and so he acted in spite of his conscience to do something wrong. You ever been stubborn like that? You know it's not right, but you're going to do it anyway. Just because I can. Stubbornness never works. Fundamentals never. Stubbornness never. Once I was having a knockdown, drag-out kind of argument with my wife, Anna. Not my fault. And we started arguing. And it was over something dumb. You know, most of our arguments are. And that just kind of dumb. But I wanted to get my point across, so I just kept drilling. And we continued to back and go badgering something back and forth. And I remember God just speaking to my mind, saying, Wayne, drop it. It's not worth it. You're destroying your relationship and you're getting further and further apart. I said, no. And I kept drilling. And I heard God say again, drop it. You're drifting further and further apart. Can't you see it? Drop it. And I remember just carrying on this conversation with God. I said, no, I can't. It's like the Lord said, why? I said, because I'm winning. It was almost as if I didn't care if it was driving us apart. I was winning. Stubbornness never works. Never works. You see, God knows what's in our heart. You know, one of the best things to do when God speaks to you about something, just come clean. Just agree with God. Because God is always right. And so often he'll pick your conscience. The best thing is just come clean. You know one of the dumbest things we do? We try to hide stuff from God. That's so dumb. He knows everything about me, so when he says something, just come clean. Just come clean. Oh, okay. All right. Because he's right. But we try to hide it. No. We don't have it. It reminds me of this story of this FBI agent came from the mainland to Hawaii and stopped at the FBI office here, and they said, now you got to go to Chinatown, and there's this apartment. On the bottom of the apartment is a bar. You got to find Brada Mantle. Remember the name, Brada Mantle. And when you find Brada Mantle, here's the code, because he's an informant, but he's not going to give you information until you say this. You got to say, it always rains in Portugal. And then he has to say back, yes, but today is nice. When that exchange takes place, you know that's the informant. Got it?
Got it.
So he goes down to Chinatown. There's this guy standing outside the bar like this. He said, Brother Mano? I go, go inside, go inside. Okay, all right. So he walks up to the bartender. The bartender is cleaning a glass, polishing it up. Brother Mano? The guy says, well, it all depends on what Brother Mano you're looking for, cuz. If you're looking for Brother Mano the cook, he's down on Pico at the restaurant place down there like that. Now, if you're looking for Brother Mano the shoe shine guy, he's down at Honolulu Airport, he's Terminal 3. But if you're looking for Brother Mano the bartender, that's me. Well, the agent goes, it always rains in Portugal. Oh, he said, you're looking for Brother Mano the spy. That's room 313. We think we're so secretive. God knows everything about us. But when you understand the fundamentals of love and respect and honesty and graciousness, and when you understand that stubbornness doesn't work, now you can find that common ground and find each other again. That's that basic. Because you see, we're human beings. And you're going to get separated in relationships, friendships, ministries, churches. That's just because of who we are. We're not static beings. We're human beings. And we're going to be pressing. And sometimes one tuft of grass at a time, and we look up and we realize we're so far apart. But I remember the common ground, and I make it there, and the others make it there, and we're back again. You'll do that hopefully many times in your life, but you have to agree on that, what that is.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Common Ground by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of changing the way we think. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.